to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good. Good morning. I'm really happy to be here with you today. And thank you, Dr. Nadine, for allowing me this opportunity. You know, this is the first time that I've shared with you as a speaker, and I must confess that I'm a little bit nervous. So I appreciate in advance the wonderful, loving energy that I know you are sending my way. Thank you. In late June, Dr. Nadine and Reggie contacted me to ask for the title of my talk and a summary of the talk. And I was like, huh? It's June. You expect me to be already able to tell you what I want to talk about on July 31st? I mean, I'm used to coming up with a sermon title a couple of days ahead of time, generally not stopping to really be still and listen to what Spirit is going to say until just a couple of days before I'm supposed to speak. But they were serious. They wanted a title and a summary then. So I chose to get still and meditate on the Center for Spiritual Living theme for July, which is sacred relationships. And what came through me was, what would love do now? And the summary that came with it is, love is the ultimate energy in the universe. When we allow love to guide us, we can trust ourselves to do that which is right and perfect for ourselves and others. And I must confess to you that while the summary made sense to me, and I liked it, the message topic didn't strike me at first. What would love do now? To me, it was obviously a play on that 90s catchphrase, what would Jesus do? You know, the WWJ dude that we used to wear on those bracelets and stuff. And it felt kind of corny. But you know, Spirit shared it with me. So I'm sharing it with you. Because if I leave you with only one thing today, let it be that we are most content and joyful when we allow the promptings of Spirit, God, love, and they're all synonymous. So we are most joyful and content when we allow the promptings of love within to guide us in all we do. And I want to be content and joyful, don't you? Many of you may remember back in the 90s when the phrase, what would Jesus do, became a model of sorts for many. The phrase was intended to remind those that followed Jesus to think before they acted, and to then respond in the loving way that they presumed Jesus would. And today, I would like to suggest that we revisit that mindset, that we make it our intent to establish a consciousness that asks us in any and all situations to consider and then act as we believe love would compel us to act. I believe that doing this one simple thing will dramatically change our lives, will change our relationships for the better. Doing this one simple thing of stopping to ask, what would love do now, will change our relationships into sacred relationships. Or perhaps, should I say, allow us to understand that all of our relationships are sacred relationships. First of all, just stopping to pause and consider the appropriateness of our thoughts and actions would be a huge win by itself. For if you are at all like me, my instantaneous responses are often what cause me and others the most heartache. In the moment, things fly out of my mouth or expressions fly across my face that are not at all the messages that I want to outlast that moment. I know that many times I need to stop and pause. What about you? While I was growing up, I somehow developed a fairly sharp tongue that I proudly called my Wilkinson sword. And I felt comfortable using my sword to defend and protect myself. Because while I may not have been a physically tough guy, I could always draw my sword. Plus, once the moment was over, I believed that I could always apologize when I'd crossed the line, and my apology would fix everything. Right? Right? Well, while I don't remember the circumstances or the person, one day while in college, someone observed me using my Wilkinson sword and was kind enough to tell me the following story. And I must tell you, this story changed my life and how I interact with people. It has always stuck with me, and I want to share it with you. There once was a little boy named Johnny. And Johnny was just a ball of energy. I mean, Johnny was going 24/7, mouth going, arms flying, legs flying, knocking over things. Johnny just was a little boy out of control. Johnny's mouth was not always sweet and gentle. He was often quite profane. And Johnny didn't care what his parents said. He didn't care what his teacher said. Johnny did what Johnny wanted to do. Johnny was his own boy, and everybody else could just wait and stand by while he did his thing. And he drove his parents nuts. He drove them crazy. And they just one day screamed and said, "Johnny, stop! We've got to do something, son, to help you understand that you can't continue acting this way. We've got to help you see what you're doing wrong." And Johnny, you know what? We are going to put a nail in the walls in your room for every time you do something that's inappropriate or do something that's against our instructions. We just want you to see how much you're doing and what you're doing. And Johnny said, "Oh, fine, put a nail in the wall. I don't care." Johnny was his own boy, as I said. And so they started. Johnny was doing his thing, and the parents were doing their things too, putting nails in the wall, putting nails in the wall, putting nails in the wall, until they got to the day they looked, and they had a whole wall in Johnny's bedroom filled with nails. Johnny saw it. Okay. Johnny continued doing his own thing. Again, he was his own boy. And Johnny just kept doing his thing until they looked around and there was the second wall filled with nails. And then there was the third wall filled with nails. And then there was the fourth wall and the door filled with nails. And then finally, they filled every space on the ceiling too. I mean, Johnny's room was just a room of nails. And that caused him to just stop and look. And go, "Oh no, I don't like this. I don't want this. I'm going to be a good boy. I'm going to be a good boy, Mom and Daddy. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to be a good boy. Please, I'm going to be a good boy." And that made his parents so happy. They said, "Johnny, we know you can do it. We believe you can do it. And we tell you what, son, for every time you do something right, and every time you follow instruction, every time you're mannerly and respectful, we're going to pull a nail out of the wall." And so Johnny, he set about to be just the best little boy he could be. You know, he had his time where he forgot and he backslid and he did things he wasn't supposed to do. But for the most part, you know, Johnny was a determined young man. He set about being good, and he was good, and there came the day when the last nail was removed. His parents were just ecstatic. They said, "Johnny, you did it. We knew you could do it, son. You were just the best boy ever, and we thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Johnny. We knew you could do it." And Johnny looked around him, and he just broke down in tears and cried. He just cried. And his parents were like, Johnny, what's wrong? You did this. You accomplished it. You got all the nails out of the wall. And Johnny said, but the holes are still there. Think about that. The holes are still there. Sometimes our words or actions can have a damaging and long-lasting, if not permanent, impact on others. Our apologies or even our changed behavior won't necessarily fix everything we've done. The holes are still there. I'm sure we can all think of ways that we have hurt or otherwise impacted loved ones. As a parent and as a husband, there are certainly some things that I wish I could do over. The holes are still there. And that's why taking the moment to pause before we speak or act can be life-changing for us and others. Taking a moment to think before we speak or act, that sacred pause, it can be a life-changing pause for us or others. But the benefit of that pause, the usefulness of that pause, will be determined by what we choose to fill it with. Because sometimes there's still that within us that feels so slighted, feels so depressed, feels so anxious, fearful, overlooked, hurt, angry, worried. You can fill in the rest. That even after pausing, we may still be inclined to do or say something that we are likely to regret later. That's why choosing to stop and think about whether our next steps or steps are consistent with love, whether those steps will express love, will make all the difference in the world. Stopping to think whether our steps express love can help us uncover, discover, and live into our sacred relationships. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus taught that the greatest commandment was that we love God with everything we are. And the second greatest commandment is that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And in the Daily Guides in the July Guide for Spiritual Living, Reverend Dr. Jim Lockhart repeats this lesson. In the July 1st guide, Dr. Lockhart tells us, every other relationship is built on the nature of our relationship with spirit. The first step of spiritual mind treatment affirms this connection and our acceptance of spirit as the basis for every aspect of our lives. We affirm the infinite nature of spirit, its oneness, its power, its peace, its presence. In doing this, we affirm ourselves as one with it. First step, recognizing spirit, recognizing love as ourself, recognizing our oneness with love. Because spirit, God, love, as I said earlier, it's all synonymous. And then on July 2nd, Dr. Lockhart states, when we are aware of our connection with spirit, we can accept ourselves as worthy, empowered, and capable. A strong sense of self-love is essential if we are to be our best selves and have loving relationships with others. Indeed, our relationship with self determines whether we remain a child of God or mature into an adult of God. The child is in constant receivership, while the adult is capable of stewardship. The child is needy for attention, while the adult is capable of true compassion. The second step of spiritual mind treatment affirms our worthiness to draw all good from spirit. We are empowered to realize our divine natures and to express powerfully and compassionately in the world. We live our truth. We live are true. When we understand our connection to Spirit, when we understand that we are one with Spirit, when we understand that we are one with love, then that informs who we believe ourselves to be. We see ourselves, we know ourselves to be infinite expressions of the divine. We know that we are created here on purpose to be here at this time, at this place, to enter into the relationships that are around us and that come to us. We know that we have purpose when we know that we are one with God. We know that we have purpose because we are one with love. And I really like Dr. Lockhart's notion of becoming an adult of God. It suggests that our relationship with the divine is evolving, that it grows, that we can allow ourselves to develop a deeper, richer relationship with God, with Spirit, with love. Dr. Lockhart indicates that the child is focused on receiving while the adult is capable of stewardship. To me, this means that we mature to a point where we can be entrusted with more and more of life's bounty because we can be counted on to use the divine good wisely and responsibly. Dr. Lockhart also suggested while the child is needy for attention, the adult is capable of compassion, meaning that we mature to a point where we realize that everything is not solely about us and we truly consider and are concerned about others and our concerns translate into action. Our concerns translate into action. As we all know, actions speak louder than words. And so when we pause to consider what would love do now, that's a way that we can translate our concern into action, where we can make sure that the words that spring forth or the message that springs forth from that action gives the message that we want to see survive far into eternity. That sacred pause provides us an opportunity to choose a thought or action that, one, reflects the truth and primacy of our relationship with God. And because our truth is that we are one with God, then we are providing ourselves an opportunity to choose thoughts and actions that reveal that oneness. And because we know that oneness includes all of our family, friends, neighbors, the universe, and all that exists therein, asking what love would do, number two, allows us to choose thoughts and actions that bring harm to none. Asking what love would do also gives us a moment to examine and determine what thought or action will truly reflect love for ourselves and others. As you and I know, what is often satisfying in the moment is not satisfying in the long run. And because we believe in oneness, we know that intentionally hurting or harming another is really just hurting or harming ourselves. And that can never be a good thing. Now, to be clear, choosing not to hurt another does not require putting yourself in jeopardy or choosing not to speak the truth in love to another. Notice I said speak the truth in love. We let love inform our words and if and when we are to speak. We let love inform our actions and if and when we are to act. For as it says near the end of the write-up of the Sacred Relationships theme for July, good relationships are born within self-awareness, self-accountability, self-responsibility inspired and fueled by self-love in which the feelings of sacredness take root. We are constantly faced with choices that can significantly impact our lives in the lives of others can significantly have an impact on our relationships. It can determine whether that relationship is seen and manifested in the world as the sacred relationship it is. Significant impact can result from both little choices and big choices. And we have a much better chance of making choices that will enrich us and others if before choosing, we pause to consider, what would love do now? And then act accordingly. It's such a simple thing. It's such a little thing. But it can change lives. Your life and my life included. As Dr. Lockhart stated in the July 7th Daily Guide, as we come to identify more and more with our relationship with God, our lives increasingly become about love, joy, and compassion, and less about struggle and fear. We resonate with good and with possibility. We are quicker to see when we need to change our course to maintain and expand our good. As we develop our sense of inner authenticity, we are less likely to be led astray or motivated by lack, fear, or mistrust. We get better at living our lives well. We seek to contribute from our growing sense of fullness. So, don't you want to contribute from your growing sense of fullness? I want you to repeat after me the July 7th Daily Guide affirmation. And I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to say a line and ask you to, or give a pause so that you can say that line after me. And the affirmation reads, I am one with God, the infinite mind. Everything I am arises from this oneness. I keep this in mind as I live my life, making wise and healthy choices while living in joy. Now, why don't you repeat this after me? I am one with God, the infinite mind. Everything I am arises from this oneness. I keep this in mind as I live my life, making wise and healthy choices while living in joy. In each and every moment of every day, we have the opportunity to transform the world, to transform our relationships. If we simply choose to pause and consider, what would love do now? And then act accordingly. I certainly hope you accept this opportunity to be a catalyst for love in the world, because we are the ones that we have been waiting for. Our time is now. We just simply need to remember to ask ourselves, moment after moment, after moment, what would love do now? And then act accordingly. So I ask you just to sit back in your seat. Close your eyes and join me in this affirmative prayer. What I know is that there is only God. God omnipotent, God omnipresent, God omniscient. Only God. And I know that God is love. So what I know is that there is only love. And because I know that I am one with God, because I know that in God I live, move, and have my being, and I know that this is true for everybody within the sound of my voice and beyond, I know that that means I live, move, and have my being in love, and you do too. We are perfect expressions of the divine. God made us with intention. We are ideas in the mind of God, and what exists in the mind of God cannot be but perfect. It cannot be but perfect, whole, and complete. It cannot be but love. Because again, I know that God is love. And so I, today, choose, and I know that those who are with me at this time, we choose now to let love be our guide. Because we know that we are love, we allow that which is our inherent beingness to guide our thoughts, our words, our actions. Our words and our thoughts and our actions are guided by love when we interact with our family, when we interact with our friends, when we interact with our coworkers. Our words, lives, and actions, thoughts and actions are guided by love when we go out into the world and we interact with the animals and with nature, and we give love and consideration and compassion to all that we encounter. We are the eachness of the divine allness, and we are here to be and express love. And we do this with joy and gratitude and thanksgiving. We pause. When we encounter situations that sort of throw us off our game, we pause and we remember who we are. We are love expressed, and we allow that remembrance to determine what we then do. And so we are grateful that we get to be expressions of love in this world. We are grateful that we get to share our love and our light in the world, and we can reflect the love and light that exists within others back to them so they can see and remember who they are. Perfect expressions of the divine. Perfect expressions of love. And I know that the world is a better place for our choosing to pause and remember. I know the world is a better place for our choosing to share our truth, our love, so freely and fully. And I am so grateful, so, so very grateful for this time, for this place, for this community, Columbia Center of Light, and the beacon of love that it is here in Howard County and beyond. And I surrender this word to the law, knowing that it has been heard, knowing that it has been received, knowing that Spirit has said, yes, 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 it is so, it is perfect, it is done. And I affirm Spirit's holy yes by saying myself and asking you to join with me in saying, and so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.